Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome back for hour number three of Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina and George Kurtz, along with Sean Engel, producing our show. Good segment, a little NFL police blotter. Just amazing to touch with what these players, the nonsense that goes on in the NFL, George. I mean, really doesn't make sense to me, but hey, what do I know, right? You know. But hey.
Well, I mean, it's a shame. It's a shame I can even have a segment on that. I mean, it really is a shame. Right. I mean, to think about it, and I probably didn't even. This is off the top of my head, or top things I was able to see, top news things. I'm sure if I dug deeper, I could have done a couple of segments.
Absolutely. So lineups are trickling in, as George mentioned. Red Sox, no Benintendi. So keep that in mind. White Sox released their lineup, and a little different because yesterday was CeCe as a lefty, and Tanaka on the mound for the Yankees today, righty. So a couple of changes, but more changes. Just Moncada batting second as opposed to batting fifth today, and we'll keep you posted as the lineups come in. And, we've been celebrating the Game of Thrones premiere of the Season 8, their final season, and we're quizzing these guys regarding their knowledge of Game of Thrones, and we're going to get into the Padres' Diamondbacks box score and what it means for your fantasy team going forward. But here's another question here for you guys. What's the official name for the naked walk Cersei did in the season 5 finale? March of the Adulteress, Walk of Shame, Penance for the Faith, or Walk of the Atonement? Famous scene.
They overdid that scene. All right, listen, I get it. You know, always good to see a naked woman and all, but man, I mean, after a while, even I got tired of looking at her. I'm sure, I don't think that was her anyway. I believe it was a body double, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Anyway, shame.
Right,
shame.
Right.
So, it's the chalk answer is really Walk of Shame, right? Because that's the obvious one. Because they kept saying, shame. So it's probably not that, but that is the obvious answer here. Was it Walk of Atonement you called it? Walk of something else? I have no idea.
March of the Adulteress, Walk of Shame, Penance for the Faith, or Walk of Atonement?
Oh, God. I guess I'll stick with the chalk. It's the only one I could really think of here. I got to go with Walk of Shame. I'll go with the obvious.
All right. Sean, what do you think?
I believe that the actual title, because I know this was partially made, like the idea of it was from the High Sparrow. And considering some of the stuff that stood for, I believe it was actually Walk of Atonement. But I'm not 100% sure. I'm going with that, though.
That was my second guess, by the way.
Is that your final answer? A little Regis walk wants to be a millionaire. The Walk of Atonement is correct. Walk of Shame is a great guess because they kept on saying shame as she was walking.
Shame.
Yeah. Well, Cersei got back at her.
Yeah, but I'd say so.
If you're, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. So good guess though, George. Yes, 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 yes. So yes, yeah, so it's Game of Thrones fighting chance game that they play in here. I filled out a couple others. Bran Stark, alive, dead, or become a White Walker. I believe he's going to be alive. I think that the Starks have lost enough, like I've said. And Cersei Lannister, I think she's going to be dead by the end of the series. And Jaime Lannister, I have him becoming a White Walker. And I thought about this. I said, you know, maybe Jaime Lannister, because they're kind of like on the outs, I think, right? He kind of, you know, I think he's on his way to help the North, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But I could see him becoming a White Walker and killing Cersei. Now, how's that? Killing your twin sister that you've been having an incestuous relationship with for your life.
Anything's possible here, right? But I got to think they are on the outs, though, right? Because she pretty much went back on the deal. She's not going to fight the White Walkers. She's going to pretty much protect her own and wait till they come and come get her. So do I think Jaime Lannister is going to become a White Walker? I said my theory is that you can't become a White Walker because at the end I got to think they're all dead. So you can't become one. You'll be dead. You know, I think that question sort of has to be phrased differently. Do you at one time become a White Walker? You know, that's how I would have phrased that.
Is there a cure for White Walkers where, you know, you could, you know, not become, you know, once you become a White Walker, maybe you could reverse. I doubt it, but I don't know.
I doubt it, yeah. So, I don't know if that's possible. That's like being, you know, one of the Walking Dead. Once you're dead, you're dead.
Right, right. Sean, what do you think about my picks here? I'm picking Bran Stark to be alive, Cersei to be killed by her brother, Jaime Lannister, who becomes a White Walker.
Interesting choices, I say. I do think that Bran is at least going to last quite a while into the season because of his connection with the Night King in particular. And we do know that this season is not going to end without there at least being some big fight or confrontation with the Night King. And considering Bran's connection with him, you know, because he's the all-seeing owl, he sees it all, the three-eyed raven. I do think that we're at least going to have Bran last until maybe the last episode at least. From there, I think it could go either way with him. He could either be the one to end it all with the Night King, or he could kind of be a sacrifice to the Night King at the same time. Like, he kills the Night King, but at the cost of his life. I could see that happening, too.
Wow, yeah, that's deep. That's deep, yes. Okay, I like that. All right. Well, let's get that good stuff, and we'll continue throughout. We've got several hours more between starting at 11. George and I will be doing a weekend fantasy update. We mentioned Cam Stewart in Vegas, probably on his way home from Vegas, but I'll be filling in for him for 3 hours with George on weekend fantasy update. So let's continue breaking down what happened in baseball yesterday and how it's going to affect your teams going forward. Padres beat the Diamondbacks 5-4. Padres now 11-5. Maybe the Manny effect, George, or the Diamondbacks 6-9. Matt Schramm, 5 innings pitched, no runs, given up 4 Ks, didn't get the decision. Schramm is an interesting guy. Good 4-pitch mix. Pitched 75 innings last season, 39 before that, 122 before that. I mean, you got to wonder, you know, if the Padres are going to put an innings limit on you know, how much they let him pitch this year, but definitely a guy with lots of potential.
Well, the problem for the Padres this season is going to be, I think it is the Manny effect, by the way, sort of the good feelings, you know, by signing Manny, by calling up Tatis. I think the team is sort of riding that, but over the long haul, the problem for this team is going to be the starting pitching. I mean, not so much for innings limits. I mean, I think there will be that. We all see teams do that, you know. But I think the problem is it's just not very good. Yeah, they Padres have one of the best farm systems in the majors. Yeah, but it's not ready yet. Yeah, it's not ready to really bear fruit, especially as far as starting pitching is concerned. And that's what they need here. So over a long season, that's going to catch up to them. I mean, their rotation, Lucchesi, Paddock, Stram, Lauer, Marjovacius, is underwhelming, to say the least. You know, it has some upside there with Lucchesi and Paddock, but after that, it's really nothing special. 4 left-handers in the rotation, too. That's something you just don't see. Paddock's the only right-hander there. So that's weird, right? We just don't see that very often there. So we're waiting for the youngsters to really come up.
Do you like it, by the way? Do you prefer something like that with that many lefties?
I mean, you wouldn't mind it in Yankee Stadium, right? Mm-hmm. Because obviously the Yankees have the short porch, so that would work out well there. Overall, I probably prefer more 3-2 one way or the other rather than 4-1. It sort of makes it really easy for the opposing team, right, just to load up with righties. And there's generally more righties than lefties. So I guess I don't like it, no. but waiting for the Padres with Mackenzie Gore, Luis Patino, Adrian Morjan, Logan Allen. They have lots of pitching prospects coming up, but they're not ready yet. So as the Padres are really a year and a half, 2 years ahead of schedule. Sort of remind me of the Atlanta Braves last year, where they were a year ahead of schedule. And you wonder if they'll come back to earth here. So I like what they're doing, but I think eventually, sort of like the Seattle Mariners and other teams that we didn't expect to get off the hot starts that have gotten off the hot starts, they'll calm down. They're not this good.
Mm-hmm. All right, Yates with his ninth save, no issues there, right, George? He's the closer for the rest of the year. You don't see them moving him.
Well, that depends. Once again, this is not a great closer. This is not the next Craig Kimbrell or Mariano Rivera or something like that. If they were to fall out of it by the deadline, he would have some value. So I think it could go down to your general manager's philosophy. Do you like having an ace reliever? If you like having one, then you probably keep Yates. If you're someone who's like, we'll just find somebody else, especially if I can get the top prospect or, whatever it might be for Yates, then I think he could be moved. But if I'm San Diego, I have no problem moving him. I really don't. But I'm not moving him for anything. It has to be the right thing. I'm not moving him for the best I can get. If I don't like what I'm getting, it has to be something that I like, that I want to get back. That's how I would approach with Yates. Like I said, I think he has value. I do. But I don't think he's the next great closer where you can't move him. No, I don't feel that way about him.
You would never move him for a Bumgarner because I would think that Padres probably a year or two away and they probably want some younger talent, right?
I don't think there's any way in hell the Giants would trade Bumgarner in the division. I'm not so sure they would trade him, period. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they would trade him, period, but there's no way they trade him because he's their legacy player. So they don't want to see him coming into San Fran pitching against them three times a year, right? They don't want that at all.
If it happens I'm as not a free sold. Agent, it's a different story.
Of course, then he left. Uh-huh. I'm not sold the Giants that just because I think the Giants should trade him doesn't mean they will. I'm not sold that I think they will. I think they should, but I don't know if they will. I think they might be one of those organizations that are going to eat it with their legacy player, with Bumgarner and Posey. Both guys should be moved, to really be built for the future here. But I don't know if they'll move either one. I think they're going to be very hesitant to do so, sort of placate the fans there. Let's keep them in a San Fran Giant uniform their entire career, that sort of thing.
All right, so Manny Margot, 2-for-4 for the Padres. The aforementioned Manny Machado, 1-for-4. Fernando Tatis, 1-for-4 with his fourth home run. What do you think of what you've seen out of Tatis so far? Decent bat, it seems, right? I mean, I saw him make an amazing play the other day. What do you think about Tatis thus far?
Well, there was no doubt that he was ready to play Major League Baseball. The only reason they were going to keep him down was once again service time, get that extra year. So I'm fine with Tatis. He'll be fine. If you ask me what I think his final numbers are going to be, I mean, he can hit, right? I think he will get better. With all young players, he's only 20 years old, but with all young players, the question is always adjustments. Teams will adjust to you. How quickly do you make those adjustments back? I love to say that Mike Trout failed in his first time coming up, right? Didn't do well at all. But then he made the adjustments in the offseason, and boom, all of a sudden he's Mike Trout. So how quickly does he make those adjustments? If he does it right away or within a reasonable amount of time, he'll have a solid season. As it is, I think his batting average will hurt you a little bit. I expect to be in a 255 range, 257, 58, somewhere around there. Nothing killer, but it won't be a plus average. I think the home runs will be there. Power will be there with some stolen bases. 2010, it's 20-plus home runs. Around 8 to 10 stolen bases. I think that's about accurate. 85, 90 ribbies wouldn't shock me at all. Somewhere around there. So I like the player. He's a bottom.
I'll take that.
This season, he's probably a top 10 shortstop. Give him a couple of seasons, and he'll be top 3.
Mm-hmm. Franmil Reyes, outfielder for the Padres, hit his third home run. Batting average still down there at 184. Interesting mix of outfield player talent on that Padres team. Last year, Reyes actually 16 home runs and a 280 batting average in 261 at-bats. So I like his potential going forward. For the Diamondback side, Adam Jones, 2-for-5, having a nice year. We talked about him sitting out most of the preseason because he didn't have a contract, but batting 333. We spoke about Merrill Kelly yesterday in terms of possible waiver wire ad. Pitched four earned runs. Pitched five innings, gave up four earned runs, five strikeouts. Now has a 3.76 ERA on the season. So took a little step back there, but for Merrill Kelly. George. So a couple more lineups starting to trickle in. Yankees leading off with DJ LeMahieu playing second. No Greg Bird in this lineup. You got Aaron Judge second, like as always. Gleyber Torres batting third, playing short. Luke Voit at first, batting cleanup. Clint Frazier DHing, batting fifth. Brett Gardner sixth in center field. You like Brett Gardner a little deeper in the lineup, right, George?
Ninth.
Urshela. Yeah,
sixth. Urshela. The bottom half of this lineup is disgusting.
Yeah, Gio Urshela batting seventh and playing third. Kyle Higashioka catching and batting eighth. And Michael Tuchman, lefty hitter, playing left field for the Yankees. Yeah, it is pretty. This isn't what you expected out of the Yankees lineup, right, at the start of the season before all these injuries hit, right? That bottom part of the lineup, you're right, pretty. I guess disgusting. Okay, I'll take that.
This is a spring training lineup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, this is spring training. That's what it is. I mean, you got Clint Frazier batting fifth, Gardner sixth, which is just weird. Urshela seventh, Higashioka. By the way, why is Higashioka starting back-to-back games?
Yeah, that is kind of
Romine,
odd,
right? Romine has not looked good. He's looked terrible. He was awful in Houston. I mean, he was god-awful in Houston. Of course, the Yankees at least one game. Defensively and offensively, he's looked bad. So it makes you wonder where his head's at, because he's actually a decent backup catcher, but he's been bad.
Absolutely,
so Higashioka getting a second start is strange here. And Taubman is just an automatic out. It's like I said, this is a minor league lineup. Bottom half is a spring training lineup. It's not good. Top half can hit, bottom half can't. So good luck to the Yankees against Rodon today.
All right, well, we come back. Astros and Mariners, more Game of Thrones as well. Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Those bongo drums there, George. Bang them. A Copacabana action. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. I could picture you hanging out at the Copa. I picture you with your hair like a little slick back, maybe one of those thin mustaches. Taking a drag off of a cigarette, just hanging out. You know, all the chicks coming to sit near you, wanting to be near George, the fantasy handyman.
Yeah. Outside of the hair thing, which granted, I at one point was the hair was thicker, I might have gelled it up a little bit. There'd be no pencil mustache, so certainly no cigarette in my mouth. That's just not happening. So not me at the Coco Cabana. You know, not happening. No, not happening. Speaking of things that happened before we got back on here, I do remember my first date with my wife, by the way. And I bring that up because I tried to cancel it. Yeah, because date was on a Sunday, the first time we were going out. And
Football Sunday. No, it was a football Sunday.
No, it was not a football Sunday. Okay. I wouldn't have even made a date for a football Sunday. This was actually – it was perfect time. It was in March, I believe. Maybe in late February, but it was – I think it was in March. But I tried to cancel because I got into a little fracas, a little altercation during a hockey game the Friday night before, and I took 12 stitches in my chin. So, you know, last thing you want to do is go out on a first date with somebody that you got, you know, I'm all stitched up. I'm still oozing.
Yeah.
You know, you certainly can't don't look good. You know, and she's like, nah, don't worry about it. I'm going to be a nurse. It's okay. It won't bother me. And I guess she told the truth because she forced me to go, or at least wouldn't allow me to back out. So I didn't.
But, and the rest is history, Ben.
The rest is history.
A love story in the making. Yeah, yeah.
She came with me about a week later when I had the stitches removed. Which, by the way, a stitches in your chin is no fun to have removed because it's very tough to tell the stitches from your beard. And it wasn't like I was allowed to shave.
Right.
You know, so, by the way, I didn't get punched, if those who are wondering. The reason I had 12 stitches in my chin, you wore full cages in hockey. And while I was discussing life with one person on the other team, one of his teammates came from behind me and ripped my mask off. And my own mask ended up slicing my chin open. So that's why I got the 12 stitches.
Interesting. All right.
That's
fake. The story just said that. But you should have faked the story. Just said that you ended up, getting into a hockey fight in the middle of a. You know, he checked one of your buddies, and you just were defending. but that would have made for a better story. No, that's the one you should have told your wife.
Yeah, I tell the truth here.
But you ended up getting married to her. So you didn't need to really embellish it because she accepted you for who you were.
It's funny. This is back when I was a bank manager. And this happened probably. I got the stitches, I guess, 1, 2 in the morning. And it was on a Friday night, Saturday. I had to open up the bank. Yeah, it was too late to call anybody to cover for me. So I'm there. You know, I don't know what – I don't think – they didn't give me any drugs or anything. But still, my chin is all stitched up. You know, I'm in a suit here trying to – help people with their accounts. So that was intriguing. It was an intriguing day. Probably bleeding all over their money.
Good times. Good times. Here's a quick Game of Thrones question for you. Arya's direwolf is named Visenya, Nymeria, Aemon, or Viserion?
Say that again.
Arya's direwolf is named Visenya, Nymeria, Aemon, or Viserion?
Oh, we'll let Sean go first here because I have no freaking clue. Although I think it's 1 or 4.
I actually think I know this one. So for the sake of not trying to spoil George, I'll have him answer.
Oh, gee, thanks. It's my show, damn it. all right, what were the options again?
Visenya, Nymeria, Aemon, or Viserion?
That's not Aemon. I've never even heard of that. Nymeria. Nymeria rings a bell. Where have I heard Nymeria before? I'll go. It's the only one I've heard. This is a complete guess. I have really no idea. But I've heard of Nymeria. I don't know if it's from that show or not, but I'll go with Nymeria. Am I right, Sean?
Yeah. Was that your guess, Sean?
That was Nymeria.
And he's right. Both of you are right. Yeah. Yeah.
Ha!
Yeah.
Go press your buttons.
There you go.
Already pressing them.
All right. Let's talk. There you go. Let's talk Astros
right now,
Mariners.
Right now he's taking me off the air, though. I'll show you a button. George, there you go, gone. Right? Jumped.
It's going to be so,
it's going to be a Joe Galina show for the last half an hour.
I'd miss you, George. I'd miss you. So Astros now 10-5, Mariners 13-4. Like I said, Astros beat the Mariners 3-1. Are the Mariners for real there? George, the pitching's going to hold up for them or what? Because, I mean, they're hitting home runs like they're going out of style.
Well, they were the same thing with several of these other teams, the Padres, a lot of these teams. Brewers are the same way, too. They can hit. They can't pitch. They just don't have the pitching here. Once again, Gabe talked about this, so he wanted to see what the series was about because he wanted to see if the Mariners were for real, playing the Astros at home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Astros have won the first two, going for a sweep today. So, it's one series. You don't want to say anything, but it's sort of back to reality, guys. You were beaten up on bad teams. Congratulations. Now you're playing a real team. You can, you get your butt kicked. That sort of thing there. So maybe they're not for real, Joseph. Maybe they just were taking advantage of the schedule. But as I know, I've been hitting on this forever. There are so many bad teams in the American League that if you can beat up on the bad teams, if you're a so-so team, if you can beat up on the bad ones, you'll be there at the end because there aren't too many good ones.
Right.
And right now, the Yankees and Boston don't look like they're good ones. Right, with all the injuries they have, and Boston's not playing well, and Boston can't pitch. Maybe there just aren't too many good teams, Joe. And maybe it's just because you mentioned Cleveland can't hit either, so they've got issues.
Right.
I mean, really, it's Houston. Houston. Anybody else? the Rays are playing well. The Rays are a good team. Right, Bueller. Anyone? Bueller. Not Walker. Yeah. Bueller. He can't pitch either. So
I do think the Rays. I think the Rays are going to be there at the end. I think they could. I think they could win another 90 games. Personally, I don't know about you.
So do I. They won 90 last year. They're a good team. The only thing I worry about.
Yeah,
I didn't
think that was a fluke.
What happens with the Rays when injuries hit? They're not going to be able to go out and get somebody. We know. They're not going to go spend and get that talent. That's the only thing I worry about with the Rays. They're managed well. They're very well organized in the organization, how they run things. They understand that they have to do things differently. They can't run their team like the Yankees or Red Sox. They can't do that. They have to do things differently. They need to take chances. And, the starter, he's opening up with starter, that's working out. It looks to be a fantastic plan by them. So I like what the Rays have done. Yeah, I think the Rays are a smart team. I think they will be there at the end. Hell, as far as betting is concerned, if you could find a spot where you're getting I think right now it's about plus 340 to get the Rays to win the American League East, I take it. Like I said, the Red Sox look awful.
Yeah, take a shot. Yeah.
The Red Sox can't pitch.
It's a starting
pitch
pitching,
at all, right? They're all terrible. Maybe that fixes, maybe it doesn't. The fact that the entire rotation can't pitch is just strange. And the Yankees, those injuries aren't – all right, Sanchez and Stanton should be back by the end of the month. Hicks is still not starting baseball activities. It's strange. The back is apparently okay, but still can't start baseball activities. Well, that would seem to me that the back is not okay. All right, you can't have it both ways here. Now, Severino, we know, is done, mid-June, July. All-star break. Who the hell knows what you're going to get from him now? Betances is June. They keep losing these guys. Gregorius is all-star break. Tulowitzki, who the hell cares? We know he wasn't doing anything when he's healthy anyway. But that
you should have known.
Yeah, everybody knew. knew. So the Yankees have issues all over the freaking place. So, like I said, I don't know if they're going to be really all that much in contention. Maybe a wild card spot later on. But right now they have their issues. I just told you the lineup they're fielding today. Gardner 6th, Urshela 7th, Higashioka 8th, and Tautman 9. That's the New York Yankee lineup today. That's gross. I mean, that's just
Bronx
gross.
Bombers.
Yeah, they're bombing, all right.
Jose Altuve, home runs in 5 straight games. And 7th of the season last night. It was 2-for-4. Looks like, he's back. The knee was an issue last season. Previous years, I think he was like a top 5 pick, not this season, but, the year prior. So it looks like he's back 100%.
It does. I agree. Everything you said, I agree. He's healthy, playing well. I think that's what it was. The knee was a problem last year, which is not surprising. Health is always the most important thing, whether it's to your fantasy team or a team you root for. It's always about health, staying healthy. You're healthy, you perform. If you're not healthy, it's hard. We all know that from everyday life. Something's bothering
you. Even your personal life.
It affects your performance. Yeah. Right. It affects your performance.
We say, hey, at least you got your health.
So that's not shocking that that once again, he didn't have a good year because he wasn't healthy last year. He's fine this year. A couple of news and notes out of Washington now. Victor Robles out today. Once again, I think just a day off. And Max Scherzer, who was supposed to start yesterday but had his start pushed back to today, will start today. So Max Scherzer is okay. He has the ankle injury there. I'm not worried about starting. If you know what would happen in your lineup, I'd go for it.
What about DFS?
Well, now you're talking price. All right, that's a little different.
We're talking price, but you're also talking ankle too, in a way. You're going to use that ankle.
I'm not worried about the ankle. I'm not worried about the ankle.
Okay.
If I'm going to put him in, I'll put him in. For the DFS, it's all about price. Yeah, yeah.
Right, we'll take a look at his price in a bit. Yeah. Robinson Chirinos, catcher for the Astros, hit his second home run of the season. Justin Verlander, just doing what Justin Verlander's been doing since he was traded to the Astros. Six innings pitched, 11 Ks, no walks. The one run that he gave up came on a home run to Mitch Haniger, his fourth of the season. Dan Vogelbach, 2-for-3, batting .424 in the season. King Felix, not terrible compared to what we've seen, in his recent past. Six innings pitched, 3 earned runs, a walk, 5 Ks, has a 4.38 ERA. You didn't see him drafted in any leagues, did you, George? Or did you play in deep enough leagues where somebody took a shot at him?
No, he was like the Adam Wainwright effect. Same thing, right? No one was touching him because he's not the king anymore. He's been demoted a few slots. So, I did not see him drafted anywhere.
The Fantasy Prince has more royalty than the King Felix Hernandez right now. All right, let's move on to the Brewers and the Dodgers. Brewers beat the Dodgers 4-1. What's her name? Mary Hart was in the where she always sits, right? The former Entertainment Tonight host. So the Brewers are 10-5, Dodgers 8-8. Yasmani Grandal 2-for-5, now batting .395. Very nice. He was a guy that I targeted a few drafts as a catcher after Sanchez and Realmuto were gone. Mike Moustakas, 2-for-4 with a runs batted in. Hit his fifth home run. Played second base. Jesus Aguiar, we spoke about him and how he was slumping. He batted .500 yesterday, 1-for-2, still batting .143 on the season. Travis Shaw played third, 2-for-4, 2 runs batted in. He's going to get that average up there. He's batting .186 at this stage. Zach Davies improves to 2-0, 7 innings pitched, 6 strikeouts. Gave up a mammoth home run to Cody Bellinger. Davies won 17 games in 2017, had rotator cuff issues last season, which limited his number of games played in his performance. Rotator cuff, George, sound familiar? Sevy. Soft throwing guy, needs to locate his pitches to be effective. What are your thoughts on Zach Davies?
Yeah, Zach Davies, I don't trust him. And once again, he's a guy, you're gonna ride while he's pitching well, but he's not a guy you want in your lineup each and every week, an automatic start there. So I would be careful with Zach Davies. If you're in a points league, that's a little different. So I think the wins will be there, right? Milwaukee, good team. Mm-hmm. Even if he doesn't pitch well, they'll outslug some teams there. So like I said, I'm certainly interested in Davies. I think he's sort of that SP4, SP5 range, and he's pitching well. There's three starts against the Dodgers, Cubs, and Cincinnati. We're not talking bad hitting teams here. And the one against the Dodgers actually gets one of the best hitting teams. So he's a guy, he's in my lineup right now. And I don't know who he's pitching in his next start. I'd have to check. But he's more than likely in my lineup next week and probably the week after that, too. I'm going to probably need a bad start or two before I take him out. That being said, you look at his career, I expect his ERA to end up being closer to 4 than to 2.
All right. By the way, before we leave this game, before we leave the Brewers, really, Keston Hiura, I like this guy, prospect for them. So far, .273 batting average, 3 home runs, 6 runs batted in the young AAA season. He's got triple slash, very impressive for during his minor league career, .312, .515, .885. Hey, look, if Jesus Aguiar continues to struggle, you never know. I mean, I don't think they're going to give the starting job to Eric Thames, but you have maybe Moustakas or Shaw play first and move the one who's not playing first to third. Maybe Yuri gets called up and maybe plays a little second base. You never know. So they're there. Dodgers pitch
out there, but there's possibility.
crazier things have happened. Dodgers pitching, got 4.94 team ERA, 4.81 for the starters. Kershaw starting Monday, which means maybe he could be a potential two-star pitcher, George. You wonder what kind of limits he's going to have, innings pitch count. What do you think about Kershaw starting Monday?
Well, he's healthy. He's pitching well in the minor league. It's time. It's certainly time. We'll see what he can do. He's not going to be the Kershaw of old. Now, you're not going to get that pitcher. I don't know if you'll ever get that pitcher again. I think he's somebody now who has to pitch more rather than throw.
Right.
You know, not so much the CC Sabathia. I think he does have some fastball velocity, but he's not throwing it up there at 95-plus anymore. Now he's going to be around that 92, 93 range here, which means he has to pitch up, down, in, out, change speeds, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm curious. Yeah, I'm curious to see what he does playing the Reds tomorrow. I hope he does well. I mean, you know, the great plays, you like to see them pitch great, but I don't think that's going to happen there. I told you, Joe, he was a guy I was thrilled when the Dodgers re-signed him because I didn't want the Yankees to get him. Because you could just see this that it was going to happen again and again and again. The man's always hurt now. You know, he's just always hurt. You're going to get about 25 starts from him per year. I think it's about right. And my issue with Clayton Kershaw this year is, well, it's April 14th, going to make his first start. Anybody really think he's going the next 6 months not going back on a DL? Anyone? I don't. Mm-hmm. I think he'll get hurt again.
No. And the thing is, when he's healthy, he has pitched well. You're going to see flashes, but I agree with your analysis. All right, we'll be back with more Fantasy Sports today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Angle hanging out with you. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
You never really know what Sean's going to play. What's this, beatbox?
Herbie Hancock. What this is? No, Herbie Hancock. Rock it, baby.
This is good. This is good. I like it. I like it. I like it, Sean. One thing we always get credit to Sean. Yeah, well, Sean's taste in music is good. I mean, I like probably 95%. You know, there's every now and then he pulls something out, like a country song I've never heard of or something like that. But Sean does a great job as far as we like to make fun of Sean. And I got to be nice now because I don't want to, you know, just hit that button and all of a sudden I'm done. So I'll be nice to Sean. Don't look now, but NFL teams are focusing on the 2019 NFL draft with the first round on Thursday, April 25th. And for serious fantasy football players, it's never too early to start preparing for the 2019 season. Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing dynasty season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with promo code FNTSY. It's the NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com. So, Joe, we have the NFL draft. What, 11 days away here. 11 days. Are you are you a big draft? You're going to watch the draft? Or are you just watching with giant picks?
Yes. No. The past few years, like, and you know, I've been watching it. I've really been getting into it, enjoy watching it. A few years back, actually, when it was in New York, got to see it live day two at Radio City. So, you know, I mean, look, let's face it. I mean, I'm not an expert when it comes to the draft, but I do follow it, and I enjoy watching it.
Yeah, so do I. I'll be watching it as well, unless I have to work that night. As far as reffing is concerned, I'll be watching it as well. No first round pick for the Cowboys, but once again, as a Cowboy fan, not really complaining. Would have been a low pick, high pick, low pick actually. Anyway, somewhere around 28, I think. And they got a receiver, and there's no receivers to take in this draft. You know, so Dallas really probably made the right move there. After all, even though I was certainly was critical of Jerry Jones when he made it, so. JJ was right. I was wrong. Look at that. It happens. It does.
Every now and then.
Listen, Lord knows JJ's been wrong more than he's been right. So as far as team management or team construction has been has Rivera been, has been considered? Now, after the draft, I think, I believe, I'm not 100% sure here, but I believe it's within a couple of weeks we'll get the schedule that'll come out. And that'll be a big to-do, right? ESPN will have a Thursday night thing. We'll have a big, you know, a big TV show to, about the schedule, which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it. But still, the NFL knows how to work it, man. They know how to work their offseason. You know, free agency, the draft, the schedule, and these are all big events that we'll be talking about. That'll be, you know, we'll not want to know who's playing on the Monday night games, who's playing on Thanksgiving, these Thursday night games, you know, the holidays, Christmas, and everything else. So we'll certainly be interested there.
Nothing like Thanksgiving football. Nothing like it. Nothing
well,
like
you know, I'm a Cowboy fan, so I'm used to it. Yeah, it would be strange without a Cowboy game at the 4 o'clock on Thanksgiving, or 4:30 nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't know what to do. You know, for as long as I can remember, I, you know, even when I was younger, I either ate my dinner real quick or I ate it downstairs at the table to watch the game. You know, just got to watch my Cowboys. You should drive my family nuts, you know, because not all of my cousins like football. And it became a battle of who got the TV first. Sorry, it was me. Because my grandma's one of the first people to have a big screen TV, you know, to have one of those big screens. And I
watched
the game on that. But sometimes I got relegated to a bedroom and had to watch it on a small screen. But that's okay.
All right.
Memories.
Throw George in the bedroom. throw him in the bedroom.
Yeah, actually, some of my other cousins were getting to me. We'd end up playing football on the bed. We broke a window once. It was not good. It wasn't my cousin broke it, not me. So sucked for him. Anyway, when is your first... It wasn't me, no. It was my our youngest cousin, Ryan. He did it. I think his father had to fix the window to my uncle. So what I'm going to say is, when is your first football draft? Will it be the Scottish Bowl?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be my, second draft.
Yours comes... Yeah, because yours comes right after the draft, right? Right after the NFL draft itself.
Yes.
If I remember you saying, right? Okay.
Yeah, I'll have a dynasty league that'll draft shortly after. Obviously, it's a dynasty league. We need to see where the players go first. And so the draft will be over by, what, the 27th? We'll probably have this draft somewhere in the first or second week of May is generally when it starts. I just need to make sure it's over because I'm going away to in Florida, and I don't want to have to worry about drafting while I'm in Florida. So I, at the end of May. So I need it to be over by then. But so my first real draft as far as the full player pool will be, same as you, Scott Fishbowl. And I wonder what wrinkles he's going to put in the league this year. It seems like he puts a new wrinkle in every season. You know, one year was a point per first down. And then I think it was last year we got an extra, the tight end got an extra half point for a reception.
Right.
So we're always curious about what, I'm always curious to see what wrinkle he'll put in.
What I love about that with what he does is, you know, and like you said, it's probably going to be for the most people their first draft. But let's say once you're doing drafts, let's say once you're really seriously drafting in July and the middle of August, end of August, right before the start of the season, it just seems like your drafts are programmed where, you know, at some points it's like, all right, well, the top five guys are going to be this, you know, A, B, C, D, E, you know. But when you throw wrinkles into there, it makes you kind of, you know, have to think outside the box when it comes to your drafts. And, you know, like I think you've mentioned in the past where, you know, two quarterback leagues or flex leagues, they add that little wrinkle where, you know, you're not just going through the motions for that, you know, in that first round of drafts, right? You know, you might end up going for the quarterback a lot sooner than you would under just a one quarterback system. So I'm with you. I love little wrinkles in leagues, and you know, just helps make the whole draft, your draft, all that more interesting.
Yeah, I think all these should be a super flex. I think it's silly we only start one quarterback. It makes it very easy. You can wait on the quarterback because they're a 12-team league. They're easily 12 good quarterbacks, so you can wait. You know, and I want to add more strategy to it. So yes, I like a super flex where you can start a second quarterback. It means quarterbacks will go in the first round, which means the player pool once again is deeper. You know, you'll have some good players lasting longer because quarterbacks have to be taken now. You need two. In a super flex league, you generally want to start two quarterbacks. Sure, you can start a wide receiver, a running back, but quarterbacks score more points. Those are the guys you want in that position. So I prefer a super flex. I'd like to get rid of kickers. You know, I think I think it's a time has come. Put another flex in. Get rid of the kicker, put another flex in. Start a running back, wide receiver, tight end there. I think you're good there. I do prefer IDP. individual defensive players. I don't like ignoring that position. I understand you're not going to be like some of the leagues I play in or what the big league where we actually start more IDPs than we do offensive players. 11 and 9.
Wow.
11 on D, 9 on offense. I understand we're not going to get that way. But in your home league, you could start it with just three. Start it with one linebacker, one defensive lineman, one secondary player. Everybody will have an ace because you're only starting three. You're all going to have all pros. No issues there. And you build up from there. Why ignore the position? I just don't understand why we ignore defense. Let's just take a team defense. That's boring. Anything where we could just say to anybody who asks, well, just wait until round 15 to take your defense. Take your kicker around 16. Take quarterback around 9. That needs to go. It needs to be changed. We need to update it then.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we need to make the game better. And so that's my thinking there. So I prefer IDP. IDP, get rid of the kickers and super flex.
IDP would be a challenge for me, and I think I'd welcome the challenge because, in normal leagues, you kind of obviously you don't have to worry about defensive players, just worried about entire team defenses, but it would make it definitely more challenging. It would help me just to learn the player pool a little bit better as well. So, yeah, I'd be leaning on you for advice there. Hopefully we won't be playing in the same leagues.
It would be a challenge for anybody if you don't play in it, of course. But everybody knows the names. We know you watch the games, you know the names. You can find a draft list, a rankings list, and just go off that, with gut feel and stuff like that. So, like I said, I just think it makes the game better. I really hope eventually in time, I understand it'll take years, but it becomes more mainstream IDP. I mean, I truly do. I also like, and this came from Scott Fishbowl, because I never really thought about it until he put this in his league. 2-3 years ago, maybe. Could have been longer or something. These years go by too fast. But PP1, point per first down. Because you look at, we know Jake Seeley, right? Jakey Jake, he hates PPR leagues. Hates them. And I forget what his reasoning is, but I think it basically is, why are we rewarding a point for a catch when that catch, he catches but loses 2 yards? Why is he getting a point?
Right.
And I can't argue that. Jake's right. Why are we giving that guy a point for that? He shouldn't get a point for that. But a PP1, point per first down, all right, when isn't a first down valuable?
Then you've done something.
You've done something. No matter what you've done,
you've moved. You've moved the chains. Right. Yeah.
So I think PP1 is a – I know a lot of sites can't handle it yet. Once again, not mainstream. But I think that's what should replace PPR and standard, PP1.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the reason why we went to PPR is because we wanted to give the receivers equal value to the running backs. But then the NFL became a receivers league, a passing league. And then now we think the receivers have too much value, and the running backs don't have it, even though running backs catch the ball as well. But I think PP1, I don't think there's any argument here. I don't see how you can argue against PP1. It's an important – first down is the most important thing outside of scoring. So why shouldn't you get a point for getting a first down? So I think that's very good idea.
I'll take the PP1. Look, in baseball, I'm all offense. I love offense better than pitching. I love watching a slugfest compared to a pitcher's duel. But the pitcher's duel has its value as well. But when you look at in fantasy football, you take a look at standard league scoring versus a PPR full point scoring. Like a buddy of mine was showing me, we're comparing points, and he has he's winning 70 to whatever 65 or something, and here I am in my full point PPR, it's 140 to 130. I mean, I like seeing that. I like seeing it. It's just a mental thing with me, but I don't have a problem with going instead to the a PP1, even maybe going instead maybe to a half point PPR. That's okay too. But the top wide receivers are still going to perform for you in a PP1 format. Let's face it, right? If they're heavily targeted, if they're catching tons of passes, just by design, definition, I mean, by them producing, they're going to get your points in a PP1 league.
No, I agree. Like I said, I think we know people don't like change. People hate change. If your league's been, it's been this way for 10 years, I don't want to change it, 20 years, I think that's silly. You need to make things better. Make your league better. Like, that's the way I would go with this. I mentioned earlier about Nazim Kadri of the Toronto Maple Leafs, that he cross-checked the player in the head. Well, he's been invited to have an in-person hearing. And in the NHL, when you're invited to have an in-person hearing, that means you're going to get 5 games plus. That's what that means.
Hmm.
Okay, so he's going to get suspended heavily. Phone hearing means it's less than 5 games. In person means 5 games or more. So he's going to get suspended heavily. The only thing that might change that is, once again, the NHL does view playoff games as worth more than regular season games. So they might give him 3 and consider that 8 because it's playoff games. Maybe. But my guess is he gets 5, and that'll take him out of the rest of the series of Toronto and Boston. That they'll
no chance he could appeal, or if he does, they hear the appeal right away. You think?
I think you're only allowed to appeal if you get more than 10 games, and he won't get that. You know, I'd be shocked if he did. And it's the NHL; they don't do things like that. So I don't think he can appeal. I think the first person you appeal to is Gary Bettman, the commissioner. So good luck with that. So same thing with the like the NFL. I mean, not that Bettman's the one who's doing the punishment. He's not. They have a Department of Player Safety that'll I think it's a former player who will be handing it out. But anyway, look at it. It's a cross check to the face. Okay, you can't. And he's skating up to him. It's premeditated, so you can't defend this. You know, I can't see how you could. This is not like spur of the moment. You there was nobody hit you. You skated up to do this to the guy. I'm not sure if it's the same guy who kneed him earlier in the game. Might be that, which once again leads to the premeditation. You know, so he's got all sorts of issues here. I don't think we'll see Nazem Kadri for the rest of the series. It hurts Toronto, but it's not a killer. You know, it's not Austin Matthews or Tavares or Mitch Marner or anybody like that. It's a third-line center. Granted, he's better than a third-line center, but with Matthews and Tavares ahead of him, that's where he has to play. But in-person hearing for Kadri, he not likely to play anytime soon. So I mentioned the NHL today. Islanders in Pittsburgh, game 3 in Pittsburgh will begin in about a little over an hour. A little over an hour there, Joe. So, well, you know, maybe I'm a little nervous. You know, wait for my
Islanders. You're chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
Chomping at the bit.
Well, you know, hey, it's not every day the Islanders make the playoffs, Joe. Okay, so I got to enjoy this while it lasts. So, but like I said, it's a weird start time, 12 o'clock on Sunday. And I only realized it, I think, late last night. I'm like, oh, God, because I was doing some research. I do the research for our shows. I'm like, okay, better look at what early games we have tomorrow. And then you see this, Islanders and Penguins. And we will discuss more of the betting lines on the next show, Weekend Fantasy Update, as far as if you're waiting for that. We'll discuss some betting lines as far as the Islanders Penguins. No other afternoon hockey games. Unlike the NBA, which has games all day, you know, 1, 4, 7, 10, something like that. All the other three NHL playoff games are tonight. Lightning Blue Jackets, they'll have game 3 tonight, 7 p.m. Jets Bruins, 7:30. And Sharks Golden Knights at 10. Lightning had the best record in the NHL, Joe. Best record. Tied for the most wins ever in the NHL. And they have lost the first 2 playoff games. And they've got their best player suspended tonight. So a little behind the eight ball.
So who was your favorite to win the Stanley Cup before they started, and has that changed before the playoffs?
Oh, I took the Lightning.
Yeah.
I mean, I took the Lightning. I think you had to. They were by far the best team during the regular season. I had Lightning in Golden Knights. I'd go Vegas because I thought they had the best goaltending.
I mean, it's not over for the Lightning, right? I mean, they have to win tonight, right?
No.
I mean,
yeah.
No.
If you lose tonight,
I mean, yeah. The only
if
down
you lose
to
tonight,
nothing.
It's all about the
and
crying.
I would say only. Yeah. Let's see what they're really made out of.
You're going to find out. Can you win this game on the road after dropping the first 2 without your best player? Not that they don't have other good players. I mean, Stamkos is great too. Braden Point. You know, they have other great players. But pressure's on. Pressure is certainly on here. Jets Blues. Blues are up 2-0.
You want me to get Messier to call him up? Because can it motivate them a little bit, Mark Messier?
We will win the damn game. Good luck with that. Forget Messier. Go away. Oilers didn't make the playoffs. McDavid, by the way, PCL, won't need surgery. He'll be good for next season. So that's a relief for fantasy owners that might have been Dynasty or Keeper Leaguers. Fantasy Sports Today, Joe and George, we're done. But we're right back. Weekend Fantasy Update. Joe, George, and Sean.